Georgia Supreme Court Leo Frank Appeals Documents, 1913-1914, page 369 slide. Visible translated text is as follows. When I said that Mr. Frank was released, I spoke before I thought. I retracted it on cross-examination. I don't know that Mr. Roser was at the police station between 8 and 8:30 Monday morning. I said that to the best of my recollection. I wouldn't swear Mr. Rosser was there. I heard Mr. Rosser say to Mr. Frank to give them a statement without a conference at all between Mr. Frank and Mr. Rosser. I said that we wanted to have a private talk with Mr. Frank without Mr. Rosser being present. I wanted to talk to Mr. Frank without Mr. Rosser being present. While I was at the coroner's inquest, Mr. Frank answered every question readily. I wouldn't swear positively, but to the best of my recollection, I had a conversation with Mr. Frank on two previous occasions. When I met Mr. Frank on previous occasions, he was nervous, nothing unusual about him. I heard the conversation Mr. Starnes had over the telephone with Mr. Frank early that morning. It was about 5:45, or 6:15. I think we got to the undertaker's about 6:20. As to the reason why I didn't tell Mr. Frank about the murder while I was inside the house, but did tell him as soon as he got in the automobile, I had a conversation with Newt Lee, and I wanted to watch Mr. Frank and see how he felt about the murder. Mr. Frank didn't go upstairs and put his collar and cravat on. Mrs. Frank brought him his collar and tie. I don't know where she got them. He told her to bring his collar and tie, and he got his coat and hat. I don't know whether he went back in his home or not. He put his collar and tie on right there. I don't know where he got his coat and vest at. I don't know what sort of tie or collar he had. He put his collar and tie on like anybody else would. Tied it himself. I don't know whether Mr. Frank finished.